At the start of this Radio EcoShock show, I promised you the latest from Andrew Glickson of Australia National University. To get this message out, I'm prepared to commit relative radio suicide by doing the forbidden. I will read out Glickson's most recent scientific paper in its entirety. It's 4 pages. It's scientific, but clear. I'll elaborate a bit afterwards. Good luck. Here we go, as sent to me by email. Climate change as a major geological event. Andrew Glickson, Earth and Paleoclimate Scientist, Australian National University. Major mass extinctions in the history of Earth were related, among other factors, to runaway rise in the level of atmospheric CO2. Peter Ward. We're simply talking about the very life support system of this planet. Joachim Schellenhuber. The release of more than 320 billion tons of carbon, gigatons of carbon, from buried early biospheres, adding more than one half of the original carbon inventory of the atmosphere, around 590 gigatons of carbon, as well as the depletion of vegetation, have triggered a fundamental shift in the state of the atmosphere, raising atmospheric CO2 levels at a rate of 2 parts per million per year, a pace unprecedented in the geological record, with the exception of the effects of CO2 released from craters excavated by large asteroid impacts. The deleterious effects of pollution and deforestation have reached a geological dimension, tracking toward conditions which existed on Earth in the mid-Pliocene about 2.8 billion years ago. Lost all too often in the climate debate is an appreciation of the delicate balance between the physical and chemical state of the atmosphere-ocean-land system and the evolving biosphere, which controls the emergence, survival, and demise of species, including humans. By contrast to Venus, with its thick blanket of CO2 and sulfur dioxide greenhouse atmosphere, exerting extreme pressure, 90 bars at the surface, or Mars, with its thin 0.01 bar CO2 atmosphere, the presence in the Earth's atmosphere of trace concentrations of greenhouse gases, CO2, methane, nitric oxides, ozone, modulates surface temperatures in the range of -89 to +57.7 degrees Celsius and a mean of 14 degrees Celsius, allowing the presence of liquid water and thereby of life. Forming a thin, breathable veneer only slightly more than 1,000th the diameter of Earth, and evolving both gradually as well as through major perturbations with time, the Earth's atmosphere acts as the lungs of the biosphere, allowing an exchange of carbon gases and oxygen with plants and animals, which in turn affect the atmosphere, for example, through the release of methane and photosynthetic oxygen. CO2 is 28 times more soluble in water than is oxygen. Above critical thresholds, CO2 becomes toxic for certain organisms. Marine organisms are more sensitive to changes in CO2 levels than are terrestrial organisms. Excess CO2 reduces the ability of respiratory pigments to oxygenate tissues and makes body fluids more acidic, thereby hampering the production of carbonate hard parts like shells. Relatively modest but sustained increases in CO2 concentrations hamper the synthesis of proteins, reduce fertilization rates, and produce deformities in calcareous hard parts. The observed pattern of marine extinctions is consistent with hypercapnia, excessive levels of CO2, with related extinction events. When the concentration of CO2 in the atmosphere rises above a critical threshold, climate shifts to a different state. Any significant increase in the level of carbon gases triggers powerful feedbacks. These include ice melt, warm water interaction, decline of ice reflection, albedo, and increase in infrared absorption by exposed water. Further release of CO2 from the oceans and from drying and burning vegetation shifts global climate zones towards the poles, warms the oceans, and induces ocean acidification. The essential physics of the infrared absorption, emission, resonance of greenhouse molecules is indicated by observations in nature and laboratory studies, as portrayed in the relations between atmospheric CO2 and mean global temperature projections. During most of Earth history, the oxygen-poor composition of the atmosphere resulted in dominance of reduced carbon species in the air and the oceans, including methane and carbon monoxide, allowing mainly algae and bacteria to exist in the oceans. It is commonly held that about 0.7 billion years ago, in the wake of the Marinoan glaciation, so-called Snowball Earth, oxygenation of low-temperature water allowed development of new oxygen-binding proteins, and thereby of multicellular animals, followed by the development of a rich variety of organisms, the so-called Cambrian explosion. The present state of the biosphere, allowing survival of large mammals and of humans on the continents, developed when CO2 levels fell below about 500 parts per million some 34 million years ago, the end of the Eocene. At this stage, as well as following warm periods in the Oligocene, around 25 million years ago, and the mid-Miocene, about 15 million years ago, development of the Antarctic ice sheet led to a fundamental change in the global climate regime. About 2.8 million years ago, the mid-Pliocene, the Greenland ice sheet and the Arctic ice sheet began to form, with further decline in global temperatures expressed through glacial-interglacial cycles, regulated by orbital forcing, the Milankovic cycles, with atmospheric CO2 levels oscillating between 180 and 280 parts per million CO2. These conditions allowed the emergence of humans in Africa and their migration all over the world. Recent paleoclimate studies using multiple proxies, such as soil carbonate 13C, alkanomes, boron calcium, stomata leaf pores, indicate that the current CO2 level of 388 parts per million and CO2 equivalent level of 460 parts per million, which includes the methane factor, commit us to warming above pre-industrial levels to 3 to 4 degrees Celsius in the tropics and 10 degrees C in polar regions, tracking towards an ice-free Earth. Small human clans post 3 million years ago responded to changing climates through migration within and out of Africa. Homo sapiens emerged during the glacial period preceding the 124,000-years-old Eemian interglacial, when temperatures rose by about 1 degree C and sea levels by 6 to 8 meters relative to pre-industrial. The development of agriculture and thereby human civilization had to wait until climate stabilized about 8,000 years ago, when large-scale irrigation along the great river valleys, the Nile, Euphrates, Indus, and Yellow River, became possible. Since the 18th century, mean global temperature has risen by about 0.8 degrees C. Another 0.5 degrees C is masked by industrial-emitted aerosols, like sulfur dioxide. And further rise ensues from current melting of the ice sheets and sea ice. The polar regions, acting as thermostats of the Earth, are the source of the cold air current vortices and the cold ocean currents, such as the Humboldt and California Current, which keep the Earth's overall temperature balance, much as the bloodstream regulates the body's temperature and supply of oxygen. At 4 degrees Celsius, advanced total melting of the Greenland and Antarctic ice sheets leads to sea levels tens of meters higher than at present. Further rise of carbon dioxide equivalent above 500 parts per million and mean global temperatures above 4 degrees C can only lead towards greenhouse Earth conditions such as existed during the Cretaceous and early Cainozoic. A rise of atmospheric CO2 concentration triggers feedback effects due to warming, desiccation and burning of vegetation, releasing more CO2. The onset of methane release from the polar bogs and sediments is of major concern. Ice-meltwater interaction proceeds as meltwater melts more ice loss results in albedo loss, and exposed water absorbs infrared heat, resulting in an amplified feedback cycle. Because CO2 is cumulative, with atmospheric residence time on the scale of centuries to millennia, stabilization of the climate through small incremental reduction in emissions may not be sufficient to avoid runaway climate change and possible tipping points. Climate change is appropriately described as a global oxygenation event, affecting geological carbon deposits as well as the present biosphere. At 2 parts per million per year, the pace of carbon oxidation exceeds the highest recorded geological rate of 0.4 parts per million per year at the Paleocene-Eocene boundary at 55 million years ago, when about 2,000 gigatons of carbon were burnt, triggering an extinction of species. Sea level rise constitutes a critical parameter which reflects all other components of climate change. Since the early 20th century, the rate of sea level rise increased from about 1 millimeter per year to about 3.5 millimeters per year. 1993 to 2009 mean rate of 3.2 millimeters per year, plus or minus 0.4. Representing a nearly fourfold increase since the onset of the Industrial Age. The Earth poles are warming at rates 3 to 4 times faster than low altitudes. The most detailed satellite information available shows that ice sheets in Greenland and western Antarctica are shrinking and in some places are already in runaway melt mode. A new study, using 50 million laser readings from a NASA satellite, calculates changes in the height of the vulnerable but massive ice sheets and found them especially worse at their edges, where warmer water eats away from below. In some parts of Antarctica, ice sheets have been losing 30 feet a year in thickness since 2003. The consequences of open-ended rise in atmospheric CO2 are manifest in the geological record. The world is in a lag period when increasing atmospheric energy is expressed by intense hurricanes, increased pressure at mid-latitude high-pressure zones, and shift of climatic zones towards the poles, with ensuing desertification of temperate zones, i.e. southern Europe, southern Australia, southern Africa, the desiccated forests become prey to firestorms such as in Victoria and California. There is nowhere the 6.5 billion of contemporary humans can go, not even the barren planets, into the study of which space agencies have been pouring more funding than governments allocate for environmental mitigation so far. At 460 parts per million CO2 equivalent, the climate is tracking close to the upper stability limit of the Antarctic ice sheet, defined at approximately 500 parts per million. Once transcended, mitigation measures would hardly be able to reform the cryosphere, that ice world. Humans cannot argue with the physics and chemistry of the atmosphere. What is needed are urgent measures, including 1. Deep cuts in carbon emissions. 2. Parallel fast-track transformation to non-polluting energy utilities, solar, solar thermal, wind, tide, geothermal, hot rocks. 3. Global reforestation and revegetation campaigns, including application of biochar. The alternative does not bear contemplation. Andrew Glickson, Earth and Paleoclimate Scientist, Australian National University. Published in February 2010. In my blog, you'll find a link to a similar version of that paper posted at countercurrents.org on February 22nd. Here's Andrew Glickson from our Radio EcoShock feature, May 1st, 2009.
With a KT, the Cretaceous-Tertiary event, which has eliminated the dinosaurs, and most of you will know about it, there has been a release of some 4,600 gigaton carbon into the atmosphere, which once again was a major, major cause for the extinction of fauna at that time. Now, when we compare that level of carbon release to what we as a civilization have been releasing, so far we released 305 gigaton carbons, but we have reserve, carbon reserve of at least 4,000 gigaton carbon. And so if, in theory, civilization decides to continue to burn fuel and then use the oil shells as well, we're going to reach the level of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is going to reach proportions similar to those of this mass extinction.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.